Greet each of you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. If you were in a car on a cold January day, going down one of the busy stretches of Cross Bronx Expressway, center lane, truck coming up on your left-hand side, and you went into a skid, what would you do? What would be the first thing you would do? If you were in your bed at night and somebody hollered fire, what would be the first thing you would do? If you were by the bedside of a loved one that was very, very sick, with a lot of concern for them, what would you do? You know, Jesus did not leave us without a tool to address these situations. When Jesus went, he told his disciples how to receive power. And Brother Eldon actually very, very well introduced the subject of this morning. We're looking at the subject of prayer. And as I was studying, the subject was a whole lot bigger than I had planned on it being. You know, I had to think about a toolbox. I can reach into my toolbox, and if I want to turn out a Phillips screw, I can grab a Phillips screwdriver. It's the tool for the job. Now, if I'm out and about with just a few tools, I might not have the whole toolbox, but maybe I might have in my pocket a multi-purpose screwdriver. It's four tools in one, or maybe six tools in one, and the job still gets done. Or maybe you're not the kind of a person that carries one of those with you in your vehicle, in your pocket, whatever the case is. Maybe you have one of those multifunction tools on your belt, about a dozen tools in one. And the need comes up, you have at your disposal what you need to do the job. Your prayer is actually a whole lot more versatile than that multifunction tool. My message this morning takes a topical format and has a lot of references. I'm not going to take time to turn to all of them. In fact, most of them I'm just going to be referring to, just to keep things moving here. But Jesus speaks of prayer. And it really shouldn't have been a surprise how many times Jesus spoke of prayer. But he spoke of prayer a lot. Interestingly enough, one of the first references that Jesus gives to prayer that I found was Matthew 5:44. Pray for your enemies. Why did he start there? Why did Jesus start in his instruction on prayer, telling us to pray for our enemies? Why didn't he say pray for the church, that they don't lose out? Why didn't he say pray for your brother, that he's strengthened in time of temptation? Well, he got to those points. As we move on into Matthew 6, what do we have in Matthew 6 about prayer? Who can tell me? What's in Matthew 6? The Lord's Prayer. We have the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. And there are numerous points that come out in the Lord's Prayer. These points come from Matthew 6, 5 to 13, if you want to open your Bibles to it. One of the first things he said, he addressed the Pharisees who were praying on the street corners. And I'm not sure if it was on that occasion, but he brought out the story of the Pharisee and the publican that went to the temple to pray. And he said the Pharisee prayed with himself. You know, prayer can be that powerless. If I pray to myself, am I going to get anything more done than what I can do? Obviously not. But prayer can be that powerless. But it doesn't need to be. So what does Jesus say about prayer? One of the first things he says here is pray in secret. Prayer should be something we just do, not something that we have to make rituals to do. It should be something that we can do at home in our closet, he says. But you know what? In the situations that I laid out, many of those situations are situations where I would have breathed a prayer. Maybe not even an audible prayer. Sometimes it's Lord, help me through this. But sometimes it's just a breathed prayer. You know, that's the tool, that's the common tool that would fit each of those situations that I laid out. Prayer. Yes, there are other things that are going to be happening in those moments. But you know, prayer is the most powerful tool in each one of those circumstances. I'd like to look at the Lord's Prayer a little bit. As we look at Matthew 6, the verses there on the Lord's Prayer, one of the first things he tells us to pray for is our physical need. I thought that was interesting. In the Lord's Prayer, yeah, the first thing we do is address God as a Father. Glorify God. But the first petition is our physical need. I'm sorry. I was saying Matthew 6. The verses that I gave actually come out of, I think, one of the other gospel accounts. Be not as the hypocrites. Okay, no, it is. It is here. It does come from this one. Use not vain repetitions. Going into the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay. So the first prayer is not the daily bread, but that God's will be done. And I think that's with reason. God's will be done. Other verses, we're told to not say that this is what I'm going to do, but if it be the will of the Lord, this is what will happen. And he brings that out in the Lord's Prayer. So pray the will of the Lord to be done. Then the next thing we see is the petition for physical sustenance. And to me that's interesting. But that comes before some of the other aspects of prayer. But you know, in the course of 24 hours, there can be a lot of physical needs. I want to touch on some aspects of that in a little bit. But I can think back to just yesterday, some physical needs that I prayed for. A locked car, and the answer came quickly. A lost sandal, and God evidently said no. Did God hear those prayers? I have more comment on that later. The next thing he says is pray that he doesn't, that we're not led into temptation, that we're delivered from evil. You know, that's a prayer that we all need to pray regularly. At least I know I do. Don't let me fall in temptation. Keep me from this evil. Help me not to fall to it. Help me to stand above it. And then he closes. He closes that thought with, "For thine is the kingdom." You know what? We're acknowledging that God is king over all, and that he's going to answer our prayer to be helped out of temptation, because it's for his kingdom. You ever stop to think about that? You staying out of temptation, you not falling to temptation. It says, it's God likes to hear that prayer because it's part of his propagating his kingdom. And he has the power to do it. It's the power and the glory forever. Okay, one of the next references that I found in regard to prayer, Jesus talking about prayer, was Matthew 9, verse 38. He says, pray, well, actually, let me start at 37, breaking the middle of 37. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Again, we're praying in the interest of God's kingdom. We're praying that his kingdom would grow. We're praying that people would have a burden to help in his kingdom. I think the fact that he asks us to pray that expresses two things. It expresses the heart of Jesus for his kingdom. Sometimes we say, that's big stuff with that person. Well, this is big stuff to Jesus. This is his heart cry. This is his life. This is his burden. Number two, there just are too few laborers in the harvest. There's room for a lot more. And as we think about that, I think we can't pray that without considering what God might ask of me in helping to fulfill that. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Jumping forth to Matthew 24. This is the account, make sure I'm right here. Okay. This is Jesus' prediction of the last days. He said, you're going to see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. And what did he say? Flee. So there's a couple of things happening here. Flee. But as we jump forward, specifics. Okay, verse 20 then, he says, pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. We talked about the house fire. You know, I can see a very simultaneous reaction happening there, jumping up, running, and a prayer. And that's okay. That's okay that we jump up and run. Here in these verses, he says, when you see this, go, run, and pray. But I think he's talking about the prayer actually even starting ahead of time. This isn't something that just all of a sudden happens in this event. He says, pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. This prayer was preparation. It was something to prepare for the flight. Jumping forward to Matthew 26, we have Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what's going to befall him very shortly. Knowing that very shortly he is going to be betrayed and he is going to be mercilessly put on a cross to suffer for the sins of humanity, for the sins of the very people that are nailing him to the cross, for the sins of the ones that are condemning him even though he's guiltless, for the sins of those of us who came afterwards. Jesus used his prayer to express his sorrow. It was an outlet for his sorrow. In sadness, pray. There's other passages that would tell us, in happiness, sing. It's also a way of communicating with God. In sadness, pray. He told the disciples in this event, watch and pray to keep from falling into temptation. You know, there were some serious temptations came to those disciples very shortly after this. While Jesus was in the garden praying, they were sleeping. How did they do in the temptations? Most of them fled. A couple of them followed Jesus at a distance. One of them denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus said, pray so that you don't fall into temptation. Mark chapter 14. Verse 38 says, Jesus said this, it's the same account out of Mark. Watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Jesus said, pray because the flesh is weak. Maybe your heart is ready, but the flesh is weak. That's you. That's me. The flesh is weak. Back in the end of Matthew 26, Jesus tells us that prayer, or he shows us that prayer is a way to speak to God. He said, I could talk to God, and this brings me right into the next point, and I could have 12 legions of angels to deliver me. So prayer is also a way to receive aid, especially spiritual aid. If Jesus could have had 12 legions of angels at his disposal, there are angels available to you and I. And the Bible tells us that in other places that there are angels. If our eyes could be opened like the eyes of Elisha and his servant Gehazi, after Elisha prayed to God that Gehazi's eyes would be opened, what would we see? I am convinced we would see a lot of spiritual forces at work. If you were out on the street and looking around, you would see demonic angels. But you know, if we don't want those demonic angels in our Service right here, it takes prayer. It takes prayer. I'm also convinced that as we called out on God, we would see angels from heaven helping the Christians. Prayer is a way to receive aid from God. Mark 11, verse 24. I'm going to go ahead and read that verse quickly. It says this: "Therefore, things I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." What I want to emphasize in this verse is there needs to be faith coupled with our prayer. If we pray and don't believe it is God's prayer, God's power, that we are reaching out to, if we don't believe that God has the power to do it, you know, our prayer will be no different than the Pharisee's prayer when he prayed with himself. There needs to be faith. Now, there is popular doctrine afloat that anything we pray for in faith, we shall receive. And this verse actually very much makes it sound like that. But we're going to come back to that point in a little bit. Verses 25 and 26 here in the same passage, and several places as we go through Scripture, when the thought of prayer is brought up, it brings in the thought of, is there something between you and a brother? Is there anything between you and a brother or sister that you have not forgiven? He goes on to say, if there is, then God has not forgiven you. And that's important to prayer, because if we do not have relationship with God, God has not listened to our prayer. There is one prayer that God will hear, I believe, when we don't have relationship with God, and that is the prayer for relationship. The prayer for God to come in and take control. The prayer for help to forgive. Those prayers God will hear. So prayer needs to be coupled with forgiveness. Jumping ahead two chapters in Mark, verses chapter 13, verses 32 and 33. We have here a challenge. Okay, I think I actually wrote down the wrong verse here. Prayer is a part, what I wanted to bring out, is prayer is a part of being vigilant and prepared for the return of Jesus. How many times in Scripture does Jesus say, watch and pray? Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch and pray that you could be counted worthy in that day. Watch and pray. Prayer is part of being alert. Prayer is part of being prepared. Jesus says as end times come, we need to be in prayer. That's our preparation. Okay, I'm going to have to fast forward here a little bit. Luke 21:36 tells us to pray always. You know, there's no time when it is not right to pray. Pray always. John 16, 26 and 27. I want to look at those verses. John 16, 26. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. And if I understand what he's saying here, he said, I'm going to be gone. You are going to pray to the Father in my name. I'm not going to be praying for you. I'm not going to be here and praying for you like I have. You are going to be praying to the Father in my name. He says, the Father loves you. He loves you. The way he loves me, he loves you. And you can pray to him in my name. And it's not in these exact verses, but somewhere, I think earlier in this passage, he says, everything that is asked for in my name, you will receive. And I would like to compare the former scripture that says that everything you ask in faith, you will receive. These are both teachings of Jesus. So can we not do justice to Scripture by saying everything you ask for in faith, in my name, you will receive? When I prayed about that sandal that never did get found, I didn't say, God, I know you're going to find that sandal for me because Jesus died on the cross. I didn't say that. I had faith that God could find that sandal. Actually, I was struggling a little bit because it seemed a pretty hopeless cause. But in my heart, I knew God could find that sandal. But he chose not to. There were several blocks of street to cover, several stores to cover. But God chose not to reveal that sandal. What I want us to be very convinced of, I pointed out earlier that one of the things that Jesus wants us to pray for is the expansion of his kingdom. He wants us to pray in the interest of expansion of his kingdom. And anything we pray in the interest of the expansion of Jesus' kingdom, he says there will be an answer for it. If you pray God for victory over sin, in the name of Jesus, it says he will hear. There will be an answer. If you pray God that his kingdom on this earth will grow through the work of Jesus on the cross, there will be an answer for it. He will hear and answer that prayer. I believe From the Lord's Prayer, we understand that Jesus also hears the prayer for daily food. He hears the prayer for physical needs. But you know, sometimes those prayers, he says, this is not in my best interests for you. But if you're praying for victory in the name of Jesus, he will never give you that response. This is not in my best interest for you. He will say, here it is. Here's the power. Here's where you find it. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't let us to struggle sometimes. Sometimes he says the struggle is in the best interest. Sometimes he hands it to us and says, this is the way we're going to do it this time. Okay, I wanted to look at some of the examples of Jesus in prayer. I think we're going to... Many of those were touched on in the first part of the message. I'll just give you the references. We're not going to touch in on any of those. But Mark 14:23 talks about him praying at the end of the day. Matthew 19:13-15, Jesus prayed for little children. Matthew 26:36-44, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. One of the things that blessed me there was his persistence. Another thing that blessed me was in times of change, Jesus prayed a lot. Luke 6:12-13, before establishing apostleship, Jesus prayed. Luke 9:28-30, at the transfiguration, when it happened, Jesus was praying. John 14:16, as Jesus was preparing to leave heaven, leave to go back to heaven, he prayed for the Spirit to come to earth. John 17, again, Jesus' preparation to go to heaven, he prayed for the strength of his followers that remained on earth. Mark 1:35, Jesus is recorded getting up a while before it was day. So he prayed while it was still quiet, while there wasn't other distractions. Mark 14:35 also, Jesus teaches us to pray according to thy will. By his example, he taught us to pray according to thy will. Practical points. Matthew 6:6 tells us that prayer is, for the most part, a private thing. Yes, we do group prayer sometimes, but prayer life should primarily be a private thing. It's something you do with God. You develop it as a friendship with God. Starting out in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus addresses our Heavenly Father. So the next thing I see is, express yourself as you would to a loving Father. It doesn't take special recitations. It doesn't take special words. It doesn't take a complex vocabulary. Just express yourself as you would to a loving Father. Mark 6:12-15. Keep an open relationship with God by clearing relationships with others. You know, as humans, we do struggle in relationships with each other. But here we're taught to keep an open relationship with God by clearing relationships with others. And that's, I think, a very practical point for us today. Luke 21:36, pray always. Make prayer a constant habit as you go through your day. Start right when you get up, but don't stop. Keep it going. As you face questions in your life, ask God what he wants you to do about it. As you face frustrations, tell God about it. As you face challenges, ask God for direction. The other thing I would say, in conjunction with that, make that conversation two-way. You know, in the morning as you're reading your Bible, I'm not sure what your habits are. Reading a passage and then praying over it. Brother Aaron Shank, long gone, used to repeatedly say, when you sit down to talk to your friends, you don't listen to them for 15 minutes and then talk back to them for 15 minutes and you say you're done. He said, with your friends, typically you would hear a little something from them. You would say a little something back. You would hear something more from them, you would say something back. You would hear something more from them, you would say something back. His encouragement was in devotional life, if you're reading through a chapter, take a couple of verses, let God speak to you, and then pray over those verses. Speak back to God. Give him your questions. Take a couple more verses, let God speak to you, and then speak back to God. And I think this can happen in our daily lives as well. I use the example of the locked car. At that time, very clearly, God came back and said, I heard. I care about small things. And it gave me a chance to talk back to God again. So think about dialogue. You know, conversations are a lot more interesting when there's dialogue. A lot of the friendships you have, you probably wouldn't have if there was never dialogue. Pray about spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. And as we pray in the name of Jesus, pray things in the name of Jesus, we can believe that God will be happy to answer that prayer. In anything, yeah. Getting ahead of myself, but Revelation talks about the prayers of the saints ascending up to God as a sweet-smelling incense. You know, that is, God loves to hear our requests. 1 Corinthians 11, 4 and 5 have two practical directions for Christians when they pray. 1 Corinthians 11, 4 says, men should uncover their heads to pray. And it says, that is because we are in the image of Christ. And it shows us endeavoring to reflect the image of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, 5 says women should cover their heads to pray. And it says that's because you are expressing the glory of man. And you should cover that glory to pray. Be persistent. Don't bring a need to God one time and forget it. Bring it again and again. Mark 9:29 tells us that fasting strengthens prayer. In fact, it goes so far as to say that there are some results you will not get with prayer alone. And that relates to the demon world. He says there are results you will not get there with prayer alone. There are people that would like to tell you the secret to casting out spirits is special kinds of prayer. Jesus makes it very clear here, the secret is fasting in conjunction with prayer. Mark 14:35, pray if it is according to God's will. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, give thanks in addition to petitions. As I look at us as a congregation, we are fighting a spiritual warfare. You did not have to look very far in history to realize that Satan hates church plants. He hates efforts to grow new churches. And he especially hates it if you are reaching out to the unsaved. You don't have to look very far in history to realize that Satan has successfully made chaos of several such ventures. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to conquer that spirit, it is only through prayer and fasting. Somebody called to my attention a very practical example of this in our congregational life. Okay, so every other Friday, we go into the Flossie Wilson residence. How many of those people are filled with the Spirit of God? Then what spirit are they filled with? The spirit of darkness. And God says, Jesus said, there's only going to be success against that with fasting and prayer combined. I was really challenged by that. If we expect to see people there freed from the spirits of darkness, it's only going to come by prayer combined with fasting, according to the scripture. Results of prayer. We see numerous ones in scripture, just a handful. There were babies born to couples who were too old for babies. The Spirit came and infilled the lives of all the believers. God revealed his will. The brethren were strengthened. Peter was freed from jail. God receives a sweet incense. In Acts, it says the place was shaken. Would to God that would be our experience this morning, that because of prayer, the place can be shaken. These thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.